That was beautiful. Awesome. Did you see sister look at brother on the drums, give her that look of, oh, look at you. I saw the look. You cut them eyes. You're like, man, that touched me. Big brother playing the drums. All right, kiddos. If you're ready for a Sunday school, be dismissed. We'll get into our word this morning. You ready for a new life? One person. I got the wrong message today then. Anybody ready for a new life? Thank you. Oh, man. We're going to start in the book of 1 Corinthians, I believe. Is that right? Romans. Romans 5. Yeah, we're going to start in Romans 5. Romans 5, verse 17 and 18. Go ahead and pull that up, Brandon. Something I've been thinking about this week is we're seeing a lot in our culture that's changed rapidly. We've seen a lot of different things. We're seeing people that are accepting things that we would reject because of what the Word of God said. The Word of God doesn't seem to have quite the prevalence it did in people's lives, and we're going to talk this morning about that, when we are baptized in Christ, when we give our hearts and lives to Him, there should be a change. Now, this is not going to be a message whatsoever of judgment or condemnation. That's going to be a message of deliverance, if you'll hear the words. We are supposed to be different once we place our lives in Christ. We should look different. We should talk different. We should act different. We should walk different. We should be a light to other people because of the change that's in us. So it's kind of like that person, let's just be honest, let's get real. It's like that person that goes, you go to work tomorrow and they say, hey, notice anything different about me? Lost some weight. Yeah, okay. If you say so. Oh, yeah, girl, you look good. But you really can't tell. How much of that spiritually is our lives? We say we're Christians. We say we're followers of Christ. But can people tell? Now, the reason we're going to talk about this is really the main reason is this. Sin and the life of sin keeps us a slave to it. It keeps us in bondage to it. It keeps us entrapped. We weren't meant to be slaves and servants to sin. We were meant to be servants unto Christ. And there's a change that takes place whenever we really place our faith in Him. And you say, Pastor, I've tried to change. Or maybe it's this. Maybe it's, you know what? I don't really want to change. I don't want to let go of what I've got enough to really change. And I think sometimes that's the reality of it. Because I want to be real this morning. I want to be honest this morning. There's things in our lives that we know we need to let go of. But we don't. Because deep in our heart, maybe we don't want to let go of them. That's who we are. That's what we become. That's what we think makes us happy. And then we use it as a crutch to think, if this crutch is knocked out from under me, what do I do next? Well, Christ and the power of the Holy Spirit can change us and transform us. And what I mean by that, you know, we talk about the law all the time. Does the speed limit signs on the interstate stop any of you from speeding? It's the law, right? The law says 65 miles an hour. Y'all be going 85 miles an hour. They could have a sign every 10 feet. The law didn't stop you from speeding. There's laws in place that doesn't stop us. I said this before. If you go into most bathrooms in retail stores, they have big signs posted, right? Shoplifters will be prosecuted to the full extent of the law. That's not the reason Rodney don't steal. Rodney don't steal because that sign's in the bathroom. Why don't you steal, Rodney? Exactly. Because he's convicted not to. The law doesn't stop us. The law just points out our guilt. But grace points out our righteousness. And that's why grace is more powerful than the law. Rodney doesn't steal for the fear of getting caught. Rodney doesn't steal because grace inside of him tells him that's not right. That's what true grace and the working of grace ought to be in our lives. That's why some people get real messed up thinking, well, okay, you preach grace, that's all good, but people still do this, and what's to stop them from living like this if they're under grace? If they know they've been forgiven of their sins through grace, what's to stop someone from still living like in sin because of what I just said? Because when grace truly changed our lives, it changed on the inside. And we live for God not because we have to. We live for God because we want to. I'm married because I want to be. Well, I sort of have to be too. But I'm married because I want to be. And hopefully Melanie's married to me because she wants to be. Is she even in here? Oh, there she is. Okay. You know, we things that you do because you want to do usually are much more real than when you're trying to do something because you have to do it. So let's get to what Romans 5:17 says. For by one man's offense, talking about Adam, death reigned by one, Adam. Much more, they which receive abundance of grace and the gift of righteousness shall reign in life by one, Jesus Christ. Next verse, Brendan. Therefore, as by the offense of one judgment, by the offense of one, Adam, judgment came upon all men to condemnation, even so by the righteousness of one, Jesus, the free gift came upon all men unto justification of life. I'm laying a foundation here of what Christ has done so we understand the pattern. Now, for all of you that think, I don't really agree, especially as we know, every generation, I don't care what we say, it, for the most part, we got those few that don't go that way. My daughter is one of them. My oldest daughter, I mean. Actually, not old enough to me to be able to tell yet. But my oldest daughter has not done this. But each generation normally gets a little bit more liberal, don't they? Let's be honest. Each generation gets a little bit more liberal. What used, I mean, in my grand, see, my grandma, see, when she, who was the groups that when she grew up, who was her groups of teenagers, Mom? Who had been her groups of singers as a teenager? Any idea? Who was big in World War II singers? What was the big music? Glenn Miller. Big band, yeah, big band. Dun-dun-dun-dun. Woo-hoo! Dun-dun-dun-dun. Now, I guarantee you, the generation before that thought, what are they up there doing? They shouldn't have that all that loud music, them trumpets going, that saxophone. Big band. I love big band music, by the way. I'm a big band music fan. I love it. Then my mom's generation came along. We had a guy you may know. I can just say his initials. You know who it is. EP? Yeah. All shook up? Yeah. He sure shook it up. And you know what? From what my mom tells me, when they showed him on TV, they had to censor him from the waist down. They couldn't show him from the waist up. My God, where have we gotten to? You can't find a buy now clothes on. I mean, they wouldn't even show him from the waist down. Then came my generation. If you're my generation, the big-haired rock bands. Yeah. Twisted Sister. Makeup and perms, right? Kiss. Oh, tight leather pants. Y'all are really incriminating yourselves this morning. Anyway, so Striper, yes. All of these groups. Then the next generation came along with the rap, the hip hop, and the what? The boy bands. The boy bands, yeah. Each generation, the dancers have gotten a little bit less clothing. The music got a little bit more dark. The words have gotten a little looser. Each generation has evolved into this, and we tell ourselves, well, at least it's not that, or at least it's not that. There's things that, as Christians, that when we place our life in Christ, there should be a change. And I'm going to tell you, there are some principles that never, ever evolved to where they are right. Things like stealing and lying and sexual immorality and foul mouths. those things, no matter what culture says. I know now watching movies on TV, I mean on cable TV, the language, they don't censor all the language anymore. I'm like, oh my gosh, they just said that on TV. Don't even censor it. You should be so sensitive to it. Not anymore. Things have evolved, but there's things that should not evolve, and that's the foundation of our principles and our values and who we are serving. Or we, looks like Melanie said earlier, and man, she was preaching up in here. I don't know, y'all, she about got me all happy. You know, I mean, it doesn't matter the circumstance that we're in or the culture that we live in. Look, I don't care that all 50 states say it's okay for a man to marry a man. Don't make it right in the Word of God. I don't care how many say, well, we're living together or not. It don't matter. That's not the Word of God. When there's a change in our lives, when there's really faith really applied to our lives, there ought to be a change that says, you know what? God, I want to represent you, and I want to be a light. Go to the next scripture. I know it's in a hurrah message this morning, church. But I'm telling you, I am tired of the culture putting me down as a Christian and trying to force its poisonous culture on me and then say I'm the stupid one for not accepting it and I'm the shallow one for not accepting it. And I don't love everybody, man. I don't love everybody. Man, y'all, if you know me, I'm all about love, man. I love everybody. I reach out to everybody. But I don't have to lie in bed with you to show that I love you. Look at what Paul says to the Corinthians, because they were saved, but they were still working. They hadn't changed, really. Know ye not that the unrighteous shall not inherit the kingdom of God? Be not deceived, neither fornicators, idolaters, adulterers, effeminate, abusers of themselves with mankind, nor thieves, covetous, drunkards, revilers, extortioners, shall inherit the kingdom of God. And such were some of you, but you are washed, you are sanctified, you are justified in the name of the Lord Jesus and by the Spirit of our God. Paul is telling them, quit acting like that. That's not who you are no more. Be different and walk different and show the light of your Father. You say that you're a follower of Christ, but you're still over here doing all of this stuff. There's got to be a change. Real faith changes us. Some of us just have jailhouse religion. I've talked to a lot of folks in jail who have made a promise to God to be a monk for the rest of their lives until they get out. Then they're picked back up for doing the same thing again. They've not changed. A new life is what we should experience in Christ. A new life. Now let's get in the meat of the message. Romans 6. Paul says, what shall we say? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Says, no, certainly not. God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live like that anymore? Let me give you an example I thought about this morning over here. Some of you may have had a very abusive father or mother. Or maybe you had someone in your life that you've had to cut out of your life for good reasons. You've had to cut them out for the health of your own sanity. Have you heard anybody make this comment? They're dead to me. They're dead to me. Don't talk to them. They're dead to me. If something's dead to you, that means they're no longer an influence or control in your life. They're dead. If sin is dead to us, as it should be in Christ, I'm not saying we sin every day, I get that. I'm talking about when we willingly, continually just live the way we want with no regard to what Christ has done. If we are truly dead to sin, why are we still living in it? Day by day by day by day. Man, when something's dead, it has no more control, has no more influence. It has no more impact in your life when something's dead. Verse 3. Know you not that so many of you were baptized into Jesus Christ, were baptized into his death? What was his death representative of? Our sins being forgiven. And the penalty of death and judgment placed upon him. All the wrath of God was poured upon him. Him that knew no sin became sin, that we might become the righteous of God. We were baptized. If we're baptized into his death, that means it stays there. We don't pack it up and take it with us. It remains in that place of death. There's so many struggles with people, and I know we have so many influences now. And I tell, we've always told our kids all of our lives, the only true voice they're hearing sometimes is mom and dad. They're not hearing the right voice at school. They're not hearing it on their jobs. They're not hearing it on social media. They're not hearing it on the news. They're not hearing it anywhere else. They're hearing everything else negative, everything else bad, everything else, you know. How many of your kids have ever told you this? Mom, everybody's doing that. That's a lie from hell. Everybody ain't doing it. Not everybody. Because everybody means 100% of the people. 100% is doing it. Everybody ain't doing it. You don't understand, Dad. Your generation was different. Yeah, it was different. My generation had parties. Y'all had parties, Chuck, Jewel, and your generation, parties. Drinking, getting slammed drunk, partying, drugs. That was all there. Even my mom's generation had drugs. It's always been there. We can make excuses, or we can say, Lord, change me. I want to be different. I'm tired of this life, because this life is keeping me a slave to what it says. This is what you've got to do. No, you don't, because the law's been fulfilled through grace. And grace is more powerful than the law. And justice is more powerful than condemnation. This is what Christ did. So if I'm baptized into his death, look at the next verse. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism and death, that like as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even we should walk in what? Newness of life. Man, we don't come out the same way. When you put bread in the oven, pray to God it comes out different the way you put it in. It ain't no good. It's raw dough. Thank God you bake it, and that's, oh, it's beautiful. It comes out different than what you put it in. When we are buried in Christ, when we are baptized, and we're in that water, and we're making our profession, Lord, I believe in you, and we come out of that water, the old us stays down, and the new us comes up. And we don't pick that old man back up. He's dead. It's over. It's finished. We have a brand new life in Christ. But here's the real deal. It's just like the drug addict or the alcoholic or the fornicator or whatever. If we don't first want to really change, this message will make no sense to you. But if your heart is in here this morning and says, yes, Pastor, I want to change my life. I don't like where I'm at. I don't like being trapped. I don't like being bound. I don't like being a prisoner to the things around me. I'm tired of this life, and I want a brand new life. Visualize yourself giving your heart and life to Jesus, burying that old self. Everything may not go away tomorrow, but you are going to definitely come out and come up looking a lot different than you went down. I've been changed. I've been changed. Here at the upper room, at the Pentecost movement, whenever the Holy Spirit filled the upper room and Peter come out of the upper room and he preached that first message, some of these very men and women that were around the room hearing Peter were some of the very ones involved at the crucifixion, the very ones that talked about Jesus and said, yeah, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him. But when Peter preached that word, they heard it and they said, what must we do? Repent, be baptized, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. And 5,000 responded to Peter's message. It pricked their hearts. Don't let your heart get so covered up in junk, church. Don't let your past always be your present. And don't let the fear of your future keep you from having your present now. Don't let scars and I can't do it and it won't ever happen and not for me. Don't let any of that hold you back. You know, there's a story I read about, you've heard this, I'm sure, about the elephants, the circus. They used to train elephants, and they would put a chain around their leg to keep them from wandering off. And once they did that for several days or several weeks in a row, I can't remember, but once they did that for a little while, they could take the chain off, and the elephant wouldn't go anywhere. They would completely be loose. But the elephant still thought he could only go so far. The elephant was still bound, even though he was free. some of us are still bound, even though we're free. We are bound to what the devil says we have to be because that's what the law says. But grace has overcome the law. Next verse. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. Think about that. See, I think part of the problem for us Christians, we only see ourselves in the defeated state, the crucified state, without realizing, man, there's a resurrection state. There's a second part to this deal. Yes, I'm a sinner. And yes, I've been bad. And yes, I repent. And Lord, forgive me. But then we don't rise up and walk in that newness of life knowing that I have been forgiven. And the devil's voice no longer is my master. He don't ever have to tell me what to do again. But I have been emancipated by the Holy Spirit and by the grace of Jesus. I'm free. I'm free. But we don't live free. We still live in so much bondage that we can't even see the truth of grace. And this goes both ways. I had someone at McDonald's, we were talking, and I got the group of men I talked to, and one guy says, do you preach on tattoos at the church? I said, you kidding me? I said, no. And I looked at him, and I said, you know, and see, used to, I would have kind of cowered a little bit, you know, because of that old religious condemnation, right, you know, coming against me. I said, you know what? I'm not worried about the tattoos. My job's to speak to the heart. That's all I care about. It's the heart. It's what Jesus cares about. I mean, church, if tattoos keep us out of heaven, y'all, just stand up now and hit the down button, right? We're so focused on the law. And only the laws we want, Gail. Okay, only the laws we want. Okay, so the tattoo's the big issue. That's, I think, found in Leviticus where it talks about don't mark yourself, blah, 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 you know, once again. But let's talk about, if we're going to talk about tattoos, let's talk about all the rules and laws. I mean, we could just go, I mean, really? We could go on and on and on. Well, Mr. Baptist man that's against tattoos, do you smoke a cigarette? You got any smokers in your church? Well, yeah, you preach against that. Thou shalt not defile the temple. I mean, man, I can get specific if I had to. I could cut right down the law. This is what grace came to do, to set us free from that. Thank God. Because none of us can stand before God on our own merit. We stand before God on the price of the blood of Jesus. He paid our price for us. Verse 6. Knowing that our old man is crucified, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that we should not serve sin. I was thinking about this, and maybe some of you couldn't, I don't know. But I think you'd give it your best shot. If I said next Sunday, say you're a smoker in here, and yeah, you got to raise your hand. Say you're a smoker. And I said, if y'all will not smoke a cigarette until next Sunday, I'll give you $5,000. Done. Gee, what motivates you, I wonder? When we want something bad enough, when we really want it bad enough, and I'm talking to me too. I mean, I've been trying to get back to the gym for 6 months. I keep riding by, but I keep missing my turn. Oh, well, I was going home now. I missed my turn. Yeah. I recognize that I can do better. I could eat better. I could exercise more if I really wanted to. And I want to here. But then something comes up. Oh, well, you know, Minnie called. She needs some counseling. I can't go today. You know, Sarah, she's off the chain. I got to go straighten that situation out. You know, the cats got loose. The dog got out. You know, Ashley's home. House on fire. I don't know, whatever. There's always an excuse, right? Always. If you really want something. We don't have to serve sin anymore. Because we've been changed. We don't have to follow and serve sin. Grace has set us free from that. We can serve God. And it takes letting the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us and listening to the voice of God. Can you tell me how many times I've not listened to God when He's spoken? I've always paid the price for that. I don't listen. Next verse. He that is dead is freed from sin. Let that sink in a minute. He that is dead is freed from sin. Verse 8. If we be dead with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with Him. Not only live with Him, but live for Him. Live for Christ. Next verse. Knowing that Christ, being raised from the dead, dieth no more, death hath no more dominion over Him. Which means if we're in Christ, death has no more dominion over us. It means that we no longer have the condemnation and judgment staying in front of us because Christ has handled that at Calvary. He's paid that price for us. So we can stand free of all charges and enjoying the freedom of being a born-again Christian. And it's that joy and that certainty that gives us the strength to say, yes, I've got power over this because Christ lives in me. Whenever Paul said one place, says, when I'm weak, I'm strong, I'm kind of paraphrasing. He says, when I'm weak, then I'm strong. Paul was talking about when I finally come to the end of myself and realize I can't fix my problem and I can't change it myself. And God, I surrender all to You, all my habits, all my addictions, all my life, all my ways, all my thoughts. I need You, Jesus. Then all of a sudden, he gets a strength he didn't have before. See, we can't walk in the strength of God if we're still walking in the strength of us. That's the deal. We're trying to fix our problem. We're trying to handle it. It's just saying, no, Lord, I've been buried. That is over. That is old. And I'm done. See, being baptized is a very powerful thing. You're leaving what you were down there and raising up brand new. You're different. You're changed. You should be different. You should be changed. I know the devil's going to always come against us. He's always going to tempt us. I know we're it's all around us. I realize that. We can't shut ourselves off the world. We've got to live here. But if we'll walk in the change that we are, demonstrate it, exercise it, it'll empower us. Next verse. In that he died, I like this too. Look at verse 10. A lot of people never have gotten this one simple revelation about grace. For in that he, talking about Jesus, died. He, talking about Jesus, died unto sin. How many times? He that died, died unto sin once. In other words, that account is settled and that is done. Our sin is forgiven. But in he that liveth, he liveth unto God. But living to God is ongoing. That's eternity. Been forgiven once, that's over, that's in the past. Now we live in eternity forevermore, ongoing relationship with God, on and on and on and on. There's no more sacrifice needed. Christ paid it once and for all. Next verse. Reckon you also yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ. I shouldn't say frustrated because we all have our battles. We all have our weaknesses. But I'm seeing a culture who seems to have lost the fear and the reverence of God. I'm not talking about picking out every little thing like tattoos or like long hair or all that nonsense. I wish I had long hair. If I had hair, I'd be like Fabio up in here. But I'm talking about people just have no regard anymore. If you have given your heart to the Lord, you're not your own anymore. You're serving God. You're serving the Lord. In the wedding I did yesterday, part of the vows that I told Amber was, you know, reverence and honor your husband as you would unto the Lord. Everything we do, we should do as unto the Lord. Everything. As a husband, I should be a husband to Melanie as unto the Lord. As a father to my daughters, my daughter, the one left, I should be, you know, a father as unto the Lord. As a pastor as unto the Lord. Everything that I do, everything we do, if we realize, God, we're serving You, we're serving a higher power, not about me anymore. It's about what You desire, what You want in my life, what You have for me, God. That's what I want to serve You, not me, no more. It's not about, and people say, man, if I get saved, preacher, I got to give up. Man, I like going drinking. I like hanging out at bars. I like doing. Look, you don't like it because a lot of your lives are miserable. Don't tell me you like that life. Yes, it's fun for a little bit. But then you're still are bankrupt inside and void of any true completeness and happiness. Because all of that stuff just is a band-aid that's covering a deeper issue. We need to get stitches and get it fixed. Not a band-aid to where it's still a hole. That's why grace sets us free. We don't have to be a servant to everything the devil says no more. I am bought with the price, the Bible says. My body belongs to God. The Bible says my body and my mind belong to God. I am the temple of the Holy Spirit. It resides and lives inside of me. I mean, if we worried as much about our spiritual life as we did our hair, fixing our hair on Monday morning, or our makeup, or changing 10 times your outfit if we finally find the one you want to wear to church, because you don't look good in this. Well, this shows this, and I don't like this, and that's too. Man, if we put as much effort into ordering our food, I mean, all we do is ordering our food. I've been behind people in line. I'm like, man, can you hurry? Yeah, I'll take that. Well, let's see. I'll do I think I want that onions, chili, slaw. No, no. I 10 minutes trying to order a burger. Man, get out. I know what I want. Can you move? I know what I want. I don't need 10 minutes to order a burger. If we put as much effort into that as our nails and our tan and our bodies and our shoes and our cars, man, we'll polish them. We'll polish them rims. We'll brush our teeth in them. Live our spiritual life a mess. Man, let's let God change us. It's for our benefit. It's not because God's just controlling. I want Margie to walk the line like Johnny Cash sang, right? I want her to walk that line. Which she can now because she ain't got no cane or chair. Good job. She can walk that line. Why do we tell our kids things not to do? Abby has rules, right, Carrie? She's 12 years old. You give her rules. She just can't do what she wants. Hey, Mom, after school, I'm going to go hang out, and I'll see you sometime this weekend. No. You're going to see me. We're going to both be in heaven probably pretty soon if you don't, because I'm going to beat you, and I'm going to, you know, whatever. You go listen to me. We give our kids rules not because we're trying to be the big bad parent, because we love them. And we know, whether they know it or not, we know what's best for their lives because we've been down that road. We've seen that. And we don't want our kids to experience those same things because they realize it's a death trap and a dead end. And it's not what's best for their lives. We protect them. That's what God does for us. That's why when we're changed, He gives His word and He leads us. We need to listen to that and follow that because it's best for our lives. I really believe that there are blessings waiting on us that we've not gotten to yet because we've not allowed the Holy Spirit to lead our lives and order our steps. And we're doing our thing our way, and God says, fine, do your thing your way. Did they ever make you do anything in the Marines, Don? And you can say it now because you're out. Did they ever do anything in the Marines to you that you thought was stupid? Every platoon has a Gomer pile, don't they? I mean, if you're in the military and they tell you to stand like this and rub your head and shout hallelujah three times, hallelujah, 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 hallelujah. I can't even do it three times. Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. You ain't going to question that. Yes, sir. What you going to do? Because that's what you do. God's given us His word for our benefit. And we keep kicking against the grain and doing our thing. And maybe it seems stupid what God wants to do. Or maybe we don't agree with His word. Or maybe we think, you know, what I'm doing is not all that. But God knows what's best for us. And that's why it's important that we allow Him to change us and mold us into what He wants us to become. Because His will, not mine, should be our prayer. And His plan, not mine, should also be our prayer. A couple more verses, we'll close this out. Verse 12. Let not sin reign in your mortal body, that you should obey it in the lust thereof. We think about Joseph when he was being entrapped by that woman, that beautiful Pharaoh's wife who tried to entrap him. So come lie with me, Joseph. And Joseph said, I can't do that. You don't belong to me. You're not mine. And he actually ran the other way. How many of us men, and don't say amen or not amen, because I don't want you in trouble with your wives. How many of us men, if a woman's trying to trap us and pull us to a bed, would run the other way? I mean, think about this. This was integrity on Joseph's part, because he realized, I serve something more than my flesh. I serve more than my own lust. I serve a God who I believe in. And it showed that Joseph had a true faith in God, because he was able to overcome that temptation that was put before him. Something was higher in his life to help him with that. And we see what happened. He got put in jail for 2 years because of it, and didn't even do anything wrong. The woman falsely accused him of trying to rape her. He went to jail for 2 years. Real nice going, God. Can you imagine down the dungeon? This is what I get. I mean, I ran away from her. I did everything right, and I get locked up for 2 years. But then his moment came when the king called him up and promoted him to second in command of a nation. He went from prisoner to prince because of his integrity. There's still something about integrity today that still matters. It matters. Doing the right thing still matters. One more verse, or two more verses, I think. Do not yield your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God. Yielding. We know what yielding means, right? Yielding means that we surrender and we submit to whatever God wants to do in our lives. I submit to you, God. I may not like what you have to say, and I may not like what you want me to give up. But God, I yield to you because you know what's best for my life. I want to be different. I want to be changed. I want a new life. I don't like the life that I'm in. It's keeping me bound, and I want to be free. I want to be free. I was watching this. You may have seen this show on TV. It's called Intervention. It's about drug addicts, what they go through when they have interventions for them. It showed this woman, this young lady, and she was being interviewed. They were following out the camera, and she was shooting up pills. And they interviewed her. She had already taken 17 pills by 1 o'clock in the day. 17. Has shot up 17 pills. Says she gets 330 pills a month, but she still goes in the streets and gets more. Her life is totally controlled. Totally controlled. Does God love her? Of course he loves her. Does God want to help her? Yes, he wants to help her. Is God being mean and bad by saying, you know, don't yield yourselves to things that you shouldn't? No. Who wants to be in that situation? Nobody. She's bound. She's trapped. And the only way out is the deliverance of God. The only way out is to say, God, take this life. And I still believe in that. I know we maybe don't see it the way we saw it years ago or on TV or TV, whatever we saw it, but I still believe there's instant deliverance. There's instant breakthrough. I believe a person that's got a stronghold in their lives, it can be gone, it can be lifted off of them, it can be completely removed, and they'll never go back to it again. It's the power of my God. He's not changed. We know people that when God got a hold of them, they put down the beer right then, the cigarettes right then, they stopped cussing right then, their lives changed. They changed. We got to quit blaming everybody else for a while where we're at. There's no blame no more. We just read Romans 5. By one man came life, came justification. By one man, Jesus. We no longer have a death sentence hanging over us. We no longer have a condemnation sentence hanging over us. We've been set free. There's no more excuse. Jesus, you paid the price. You died for me. You rose for me. And you live for me, God. You live because of me. That's why he went to the cross, because of me. Last verse, 14. Oh, yeah, go on to the next one. It's fine. For sin shall not have dominion over you, Paul says, for you are not under the law, but under grace. The power of grace is so strong. just like the sign in the bathroom, do not steal merchandise, you'll be prosecuted. Rodney doesn't steal because it's not right, not because of the sign. People break the law all the time because of the sign. All the time. Every time you see no smoking on property, you see them down there in the corner, all high behind a bush smoking. It says no smoking on the property. You're on the property. Why are you smoking? Sign didn't keep them from smoking. What keeps us from walking in sin and serving sin is the conviction, as Rodney said, inside of our hearts, which comes from a real change of the Holy Spirit. That's the key. I want to be different. I want to be changed. We can still walk as Christians in this generation. And I'm talking about not being hateful, not being judgeful, not putting people down. I don't believe in that. But I believe that we should stand for what God's Word says and be proud of it and declare it and not be ashamed and not cower because people make us feel like we're all wrong because we don't accept this like they accept this. It's okay. I know who I am in Christ, and I'm comfortable with that. I know who I believe in, and I'm comfortable with that. I know who saved me and who keeps me, and I'm comfortable with that. And I want to see lives change for the good of you, for your life, that you're no longer having to be bound by the cycle of defeat you're in day after day after day. Sickness, depression, discouragement, fear, bitterness, anger, all the stuff we carry day in and day out. I want to be different. Come on up, Marty, get ready for that song. I want you to do that one first. I want to have Marjorie sing this song. God is dealing with you at all this morning about your life being different. You're ready for a different life, a new life. You're ready to let go. Now, here's the truth. You've got to be willing to let go. Amen. You've got to be willing to say, God, here I am. I surrender it all to you today. Help me. Take my life. I want a new life. As she begins to sing this song, the altar is open. And if God is moving on you this morning, I want you to come to the altar and just talk to him a minute. If you're not used to the altar, it's okay. Nothing scary. It's just coming and having a little bit of time with God to say, Lord, here I am. I give it to you. I surrender. I want to be different. I want to be changed.
I don't want to hear anymore. Teach me to listen. is beating in my heart, and come and finish what you started. When they see you, 'cause I just wanna be different. I wanna be different.
God is moving because I want a new life. I'm tired of where I'm at. God, I need you, and I'm ready to let go of everything today. I'm ready to surrender it all. But I can walk out of this church today being different and being changed by your power. Listen to his voice this morning and follow that. As God is knocking on your heart, calling you by name today, listen to that and surrender. It'll change your whole life. At the altar, y'all stand and let's just worship for a minute. Anyone else wants to come while we're worshiping, please come talk to God before you leave. Come talk to him. Strongholds and these addictions and these vices and this darkness and these fears and these depressions and discouragement and overwhelming pain and sickness and disease and whatever it is we're battling, I'm tired, and God, I'm ready to surrender to all to you. That God, you touch me and you help me, and I place all of my life in all of your hands. And I trust you with that, God. I trust you with my life more than I trust me with my life. And I thank you, Jesus, that you have made a way. I thank you, God, that your love never ends. I thank you your love never fails. I thank you that your grace is stronger than our sin. I thank you that you are no longer dead, but you arose forevermore, resurrected, God, out of the tomb and living inside of us. I thank you that we are your army. We are your people. And we have a promise and a hope that will be fulfilled and it will be seen when all is due. We thank you, Jesus. Thank you for your power. Thank you for your glory. Thank you for your presence. Thank you for your strength. Thank you for the love that we feel in you. In Jesus' name we declare this, and thank you, God, for all your blessings. Blessings in our lives we can never count. Amen. Amen.